Oasis Audio presents the complete Edgar Rice Burroughs collection, fully authorized by Edgar Rice Burroughs Incorporated. Red Axe of Pellucidar, from Edgar Rice Burroughs Universe Series, by John Eric Holmes, including the bonus classic novella Jason Gridley of Earth, Across the Moons of Mars, by Geary Gravel. Read for you by Johnny Heller. Forward. I am very happy you are about to read the sequel to Maharas of Pellucidar. This book was my first experience of an unpublished novel and of my father's writing being rejected. Despite critical praise, Maharas had poor sales, and the head of the Burroughs Corporation was no longer the enthusiastic grandson who helped that book get published. I've always suspected that the title may have worked against it and that Red Axe of Pellucidar might have sold more copies in the late 1970s. The book did get privately published in a very limited edition by a fan of Dad's writing. Leaked copies of this manuscript, with many errors, have been available to a few. I hope you haven't spent much money on them because their production and art are not worth it. Now at last we have this lovely edition. The next couple of paragraphs contain spoilers, but not too many, I hope. A novel of Pellucidar with Maharas, Tyrannosauruses, and a giant octopus is a hard act to follow. Dad did a good job of it, though, and didn't skim on the monsters. Mostly, he introduces us to two tribes of believable prehistoric peoples, the Polynesian race that draws upon his knowledge of his Hawaiian childhood, and the Mammoth people, who are inspired by Edgar Rice Burroughs' wonderful mammoth hunters in the novel Back to the Stone Age. My father also had a beautifully illustrated series by Dr. Joseph Augusta and a great painter named Zdeněk Burian from Czechoslovakia. One volume was A Book of Mammoths, and this was a favorite of my father's. My favorite was Prehistoric Animals, which told the story of evolution in beautiful oil paintings. Speaking of evolution, we are again treated to a panoply of prehistoric monsters in this book, including a mysterious, poisonous flying reptile in a creature so huge it is mistaken for a god. Where have I heard of that plot device before? A couple of differences between this book and the Burroughs novels are the depiction of the heroine and of older characters. Though some of Burroughs' heroines are women of action, not many are the expert archer and fearless fighter that Varna is. Varna accomplishes her own escape from the fortress of the Mammoth people and later kills an attacker with a dagger. She's more than just a princess to be rescued, but not yet a main character of her own story. Dad revisits a theme that is popular in Burroughs' works, a false religion that demands much in sacrifice from a primitive people and gives an evil hypocrite power over them. We see this theme used satirically in Savage Pellucidar and more seriously in The Gods of Mars. And I know there are even more examples I can't recall. This theme resonated strongly with my scientist father, as it did with the science enthusiast Burroughs. When Red Axe must convince Analoa's brother to aid her, he avoids attacking Tumu's faith directly, but he does attack the character of the priest who represents the theocracy. Red Axe has a different interaction with the witch doctor of the Mammoth tribe, one that is much more optimistic about a symbiotic relationship between science and religion. The doctor in Santa Monica speaking in this scene is, of course, my father. Your author just taught you a little neuroscience using cavemen and witch doctors. Had Red Axe of Pellucidar been published in the 70s, it might have been followed by Swordsman of Pellucidar. But what that story would have been, we will never know because Dad kept it to himself. Christopher West Holmes. Chapter 1. Dinosaur Swamp. It was a strange group that cautiously threaded its way over the half-submerged fallen tree trunks of the tropical swamp. A brilliant sun beat down upon them from the zenith, for this was Pellucidar, the world at the Earth's core where the sun, hanging in the center of a hollow ball, is always directly overhead. It is a timeless work.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?